I say let's go ahead and call it to order. Could we do a roll call, please?
Yes. Director Mabee?
Here.
Director Merchant?
Here.
Director Janko?
Here.
Director Butler?
Here.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the meeting.
What I'd like to do is have the closed session, which is item on mine, number three, but actually it's going to be number two. We're going to move that item for closed session. So the directors, if you stand by, we're going to move people into the waiting room, and then we'll start the closed session regarding labor negotiations, Local 3. So it'll just be one moment.
And should we adopt the agenda first, Mr. Shanahan, and then go to closed session?
I think that's how it's normally done.
That's how it's normally done, but either way is acceptable.
No, let's go with consider adoption of the agenda. So I want to make a motion to adopt the agenda as written. Can I have a second?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Roll call vote, please, Amelia.
And that was Director Merchant who seconded it. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Yep, that's me.
Director Mabee?
Aye.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now you want to go to closed session?
Agenda item number four, which is open session, report action from closed session. There is no reportable action taken during closed session. That was information only. We're moving on to item number five, which is the consent calendar. I would like a motion, and then we'll have a roll call vote to accept the consent calendar. Do I have a second?
Was that a motion? You made the motion, Tim?
I did make the motion.
Thank you, sir.
Second.
Thank you, Randy.
I have a second. Any discussion or questions? Not hearing any. Could we do a roll call vote, please?
Yes, sir. Director Mabee?
Aye.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler? Are you still with us, Linda?
I think she has to unmute, so it might be just a second delay.
I'm unmuted now.
Hi.
Yes.
Thank you. And Director Merchant?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
With that being done, we're on to item six, staff reports. 6A, general manager's report, please.
Yes, thank you, and good evening, everybody. The general manager report is about ready to be on the screen.
This was an updated item, so you can find this on the internet on our website if you're interested. You should be able to see it now.
Okay, and to begin with, of course, COVID-19 is on everyone's mind, and district offices, it has not changed. We are still closed to the public. We are not accepting cash. We are awaiting changes in direction from county health officials. As a group, we continue to meet three times a week over the Microsoft Teams software, and we are constantly in touch with each other throughout the day through the Microsoft Teams software as well. The actions haven't changed. We staggered our work schedules. We've installed the sneeze guards have been installed, so I need to change that. We have staff wiping down doors and handles and counters throughout the day. The hand sanitizers are being installed. We're putting together a package for transitioning back, and we hope to have that completely done and prepared, so when we hear from the governor or the county health officials that we can open up the doors to the public, we're available. We are training management staff as we learn new things. We have one confirmed COVID case in our utility Staff, the last day they were here at work was July 2nd. So as of today, it's a 14-day quarantine period. But we are testing as necessary. We are staying in touch with our occupational health monitoring provider, MedCor. And they are interviewing all of our employees who had any kind of contact with the COVID positive employee. And it turns out, because we have to be in contact with supervisors here in the mailroom and the copy room, that all of us have a level of contact. So we're all going through MedCor to confirm that we need to either self-quarantine for a specific amount of days, or we're in a self-monitoring state. From what I'm seeing so far, most of us are in a self-monitoring state. Moving forward, it's kind of cool that Rancho Murrieta, as small as we are, is the third, has utilized the Rocchio Smart Irrigation Program. We're number three behind Folsom and I think I wrote it there, Folsom and San Juan Water District. So they have about half of the controllers still left. It's a pretty easy sign up. You just go to that rwarocchio.com and you put in your information and off you go. It's pretty self-explanatory. Moving down to advocacy, I've met pretty regularly with the country club management. We met earlier in the week about Riverview. I have working on scheduling a regular meeting, but that with Murrieta Village and the RMA general manager, it seems we're meeting on a regular basis anyway as we collaborate with the work we're doing. So it may be that I have regular meetings with these folks, or it may just be that we meet on a regular basis, whenever necessary. I've been paying attention to the Sacramento Groundwater Authority meetings. They have meetings at times. They're all virtual, so you can kind of multitask, and I can pay attention to those. And the same with Slough House meetings that they have. And then the Regional Water Authority, they have very long meetings because they have a lot of stuff going on with water going on in the county. A couple development related comments. The Residences East, the 670 financing and services agreement, that has gone to a point where I believe Bob Kyle is ready to take his next move with the county. We communicated to Mr. Kyle that if he wanted to hook up a small number of properties to the existing sewer, that we had the capacity and we would entertain that discussion openly. The Riverview project it looks like they're trying to get the grading done before October. So they asked us to allow Coastland to do the drainage review that would normally be put to the county. And the county has agreed to let Coastland do it for them because the county's really busy. So I believe there's going to be a contract in place or an agreement in place probably early next week. And then Coastland will begin the drainage review. So what they're trying to do is get all the grading done, and then in the spring come in and start putting in the underground, the pipes and stuff, doing all the digging.
Tom, could I ask you a question about that before you move on?
Yes.
Just are we contractually, do we have the stuff in writing that would prevent the kind of back and forth that we have going on with the Rancho North people with regard to on-site inspections or whatever?
We fixed our problems with our regular billing cycle, which is the biggest problem we had with Rancho North, because we weren't able to keep up with what was going on in the mirror and the gardens, and we fixed those problems. I don't think we'll have the problems that we had, because we'll be upfront and very transparent with how much it's going to cost to get inspections done. And so I'm not worried that they're going to be surprised. They might be surprised at first, but they'll be aware that it's expensive to have an outside engineering firm act as the engineering firm for the district. They'll know that upfront, so it won't be a big surprise.
Yeah, that sounds good. But I just wanted to make sure, as we went through the whole process with travel time and all that stuff, that we have that someplace in writing that if it's going to cost X dollars on, I don't know, however you guys work it on a daily, hourly basis, that all of that stuff is accounted for in that, in that, that writing down of the contractual understanding, just so we don't go back through this again. And it, it may be a different situation. I just like to see that it's all on a piece of paper someplace.
Well, John, what's important to me is that the work we get from Coastland, the estimate we get from Coastland is all inclusive. So when we tell the folks at Riverview what we think it's going to cost, it's going to be the, it's going to be the total number.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good with that. That's I think what I was asking. So,
and they may make deposits away. Yes, Linda.
I thought we weren't going to do this anymore. Randy brought this up the last time, you know, this came up a couple weeks or maybe at the improvements meeting. And the whole idea of us supplying this help, for lack of a better way to put it, really got us in trouble a while ago. And I don't think we want to repeat that. And I'm not sure why we're doing this.
You mean acting as the pass-through for the engineering costs and the inspection costs?
Yeah, right.
We have to do it because when the neighborhood the contractor walks away, we own the infrastructure.
I understand that part. I'm just saying that in the past, that's gone to the county first, or it should have gone, and we figured out, we realized that that was not what we did initially on some things with Rancho North, and now we're doing it again.
Not exactly. At this stage of the game, we're assisting with the work that the county can't get to for a number of months or a number of weeks. We're allowing to do the county's work, as with us being the pass through because we have that contractual already. Is that accurate, Dane? I see that you're on the call.
Yes, that is accurate. We provide a service in lieu of the county's review, and we provide an estimate in advance, which was brought before the developer, and they've submitted a deposit check to cover that cost. It's based on a defined scope of work, so if the scope of work varies, then you know that there may be more or less cost based on how that varies.
Dane and Tom, I just have one more question then. Is that really then, Tom, a contractual arrangement that is centered distinctly between Coastland and the developer? Are we just kind of in the middle of that?
No, it's set up.
No, the scope of work, if we're running it through us.
Okay.
And so the contract is with
the county's work.
With the county's approval that they do the work, yes. What they end up doing, Coastland ends up giving their work to the county for review. Is that correct, Dane?
Yeah, that's correct. We're coordinating with them all along, and then so we provide a letter of review when each submittal is complete. And, anyway, we resolve any conflicts in our comments or. Point, and then we have a synthesized comment letter as if it were one entity.
So, and Linda, any charges that we generate from, like, if I'm working on it or Cindy's or Michelle's working on it, those charges will also be charged against the deposit for this part of the project. So the developers will pay for everything involved.
I'm also concerned about conflict of interest, and I was also wondering if anybody had checked with RMA to find out what they're dealing with as far as this developer's concerned.
The RMA has attended all the meetings. All the meetings we've had recently, RMA has been in attendance.
And there is no issues with RMA?
Not that I'm aware of.
The question, and this came up at RMA's maintenance committee meeting yesterday, The question, the problem, I don't know. The situation with RMA is that that development has not annexed yet. So technically, right now, RMA has no hammer over them for their infrastructure construction. And Rod Hart is very concerned that he's not going to get a say in the inspection and the product that they're going to put out there as far as the grading and the paving and the curb and gutter. So that's out there, but it's being discussed.
Do you want me to reach out to RMA and see if there's something additional that we need to put into place?
Yeah, that'd be great.
I don't think this part includes laying any concrete or asphalt. I think this is just reviewing their grading plan and giving it back to the county as if their staff had done it, and then their staff will finish it off and approve it. And then I think they just bring in the bulldozers and stuff as long as they can keep them out there. And they think they can probably keep them out there till September or October.
So Tom, the bottom line here is that the county has approved Coastland's participation in here and the billing process that we're going to do this by. And then the finished product is going to be given back to the county for their final approval.
And they
will also bill the developer directly for their work.
Yes.
And we're comfortable that we have enough money that we've asked them for up front, that we're going to stay inside of those bounds.
Yes. And if we start to go over because of add-ons or, oh, well, you're at it, then we will bill them additional funds.
Well, I would just comment that you wouldn't wait until you go over.
No.
You would track and you would set it, and if you get to 75% of what they've given you at that point, that's when you go back to them and ask for 50% more or whatever is reasonable. Does that make sense?
75% is what I had in mind as well.
Okay, great.
Hey, Tom, this is Bob Kyle, by the way. In regards to Riverview beginning their grading, does that trigger their reimbursement payment for the spray field?
I have to figure that out. It might be, I'll figure that out and I'll get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Wait a second. This is Linda.
Go ahead, Linda. Go ahead.
I'm not happy with this, but I'm still wondering. Coastland works with them, and then when do we get our say?
We get our say when they start putting in their pipes and getting their final maps approved and all that. I know the RMA is concerned about the width of some of the roads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not space giving for turnarounds, and what those two issues are going to provide related to overall parking and access to Riverview Park. These are a set of plans that were approved a long time ago.
And I know.
Sounds to me like the engineering firm and Raymond Bartis are open to discussion to modifying some of the lot sizes to accommodate the RMA's wishes. But again, those are just discussions, and until I see changes, I think that the existing maps are what was approved and what they're going with, but I feel like they're considering making changes to
That's why I don't like the idea of starting this before we have this information.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure when they come back with plans, but I do know that there is a meeting being scheduled for next week, or maybe even this Friday, with the entire group to go over this part of the plans, and I'm making notes about what I need to talk about, make sure that it stays on the forefront.
So can we hold off on this until we get more information?
I don't know, because this the part where the RMA is discussing changing the road size and such as that, I don't think that relates to when they start doing the grading. This whole thing we're doing here is, you know, the county has requested this to happen, and so we're just accommodating both the county and the developer, and Coastland is available to do the work. I don't know how much the grading affects the final map for the street layout and such, but I'll find out for you, Linda.
All right. And I mean, the part of it that is concerning is that once they start grading, you know, they're not going to want to do it again if there's changes. And I would really feel more comfortable having some final things in place before we start working with these guys. But
Linda, if I can, to me, there's two issues here. What we're doing here is going to get done no matter what. And so this is just a process that we're being good neighbors and moving it through. I would assume that CSD could step out of it and just have Coastland have the contract and do all that, but we lose a little bit of control. The bigger picture to me, having the second portion, and that's what Director Merchant talked about, that here's our package and here are the costs for Coastland to be the inspector and represent the district. And so to me, it's two separate issues. With the second one being the most important one, that we had lessons learned from Marietta Gardens, Marietta Marketplace. And you and I have had conversations on this. So we've improved with that immensely. And that's where it's going to address a majority of our concerns. From what Randy was saying, as of right now, RMA has little to no input on streets, all those other things, because they have not annexed into it. Now, with that being said, as this moves along, RMA's got to do some political stuff down at the county. We can be the neighbor for them for that as we go through this process. And I think Tom hit it right on the head. At this next meeting, we just have to be joined at the hip with RMA to make sure we're addressing all concerns through this process.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. I mean, I understand all that. I just don't feel good about it. I don't have a good feeling about it. And it's probably from past experiences with this developer. And I hope we're right. I do.
Hey, Tom, one more comment. I feel great about doing it this way. I mean, you know, we've kind of gone bell curve here, where we were about to hold out our hands and, you know, tell the county to take care of us on a whole bunch of stuff. I think there's more control this way. And I think RMA will come to understand, you know, there's a big hammer there. I mean, annexing and not annexing is a big choice for this developer that's going to cost them a whole lot of money. So I got to believe ultimately RMA will be in the driver's seat on that. That's up to them. But and I agree that, you know, we're going to plow some dirt around in the interim while they figure out how big the streets ought to be and whatever other problems they have. But I really do kind of like doing it this way. I think it's great.
Well, and just to be clear, they want to do the entire grading of the Riverview project at once so they can deal with the problems that they had the last time with the Ion clay. And by doing the whole 53 acres at the same time, it puts them in a situation where they can bring in a geologist and they can properly deal with the clay and make the neighborhood, make the footings right from the beginning and not on a section by section basis. So one of their big goals here is to solve their biggest problem up front and not have to deal with it as they go from 30 houses to 100 houses to 140 houses.
No, I'm good with it. I like it.
All right, Tom, continue on, please.
Okay, so district business conference and educational opportunities. It looks like the Special District Leadership Academy is still scheduled in September 27th through 30th. If they have that, we will probably send me to that academy.
I think that academy is for the directors, Tom. And you want to go to the, you want to be a general manager webinar.
Well, I'm going to do that as well. But the Leadership Academy, I was scheduled for last year, but it got canceled. I got canceled.
Oh, awesome.
So those are the meetings we have. District offices are closed tomorrow morning. We're all doing a complete administrative training on SharePoint. This is a project we've had going on for probably about 3 months, converting how we do our file sharing and our collaboration from how it's been done in the past, which is a history of things, to a controlled environment in SharePoint. And so tomorrow is our formal cutover. So from basically 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock, the offices are closed. We have a message out there. There'll be something on our webpage. And then after that, we'll be back open. Employee announcements, pretty couple big issues here. Mark Martin, congratulations. He's retired. He's happy. And then really big deal is Cindy Chow, our controller, had her healthy baby boy, Theodore, on the 9th, 44. Cindy thought 18 hours of labor was pretty tough, but she's happy that it's over. 20 and almost 21 inches tall, 7.1 pounds. She's very happy and she wanted to share her joy with everybody and her friends at the district.
Aww.
A couple pictures, but I want to make sure she's happy with me sharing them. I told, and Gail, you're on the line. This is the information for you, but I'm still trying to get you a picture. So, and that is it. That's my general manager's report.
Very good. Congratulations to Cindy. We have an administration finance report.
Michelle Aiden is our interim. She's sitting in for Cindy as a controller. And so I asked her if she was going to be nervous, and she said, nah. So here's Michelle.
All right, Michelle, bring it on. Let's go. Come on.
Remember, she's got to stand up.
No, I'm not. I'm going to sit down. Okay, for the finance report, right now we're getting ready to close out last fiscal year. We should have that done sometime between now and the next board meeting. We anticipate having everything closed out. We're continuing to work with various financial systems and vendors to get the new system all integrated and upgraded. The residential water consumption, we're approximately 14% in June of this year over June of 2019. And we use slightly less water in June than we did in May. Listed below in the chart shows that we have another 110 homes receiving water over June of 2019. On the commercial side, we used twice as much water in June as we did in May. And year-to-date usage is up approximately 21% over projections. And this is mainly due to the large user accounts. There were no lock-offs again in June due to the COVID. And the pay agreements, so far none have been requested. But this is likely result fact, we're not handing out penalties or late charges being leveled and no shutoffs. There were no connection fees also paid in June of 2020. The aging reports for more than 60 days overdue is $72,165. $32,873 of that is owed by two of the future development sites. $18,253 of this total is owed by four future development sites. These four sites, their bills were going to the company's physical address and not their PO box, so they were not getting their bills. This has been straightened out, and the bills are now being sent to their PO box. And then four of the accounts, which totaled $6,393, are in lock-off status. We've also identified accounts that have become delinquent but have not yet requested any pay agreements. And these accounts are broken down in the report by the last month the payment was made. And we've begun reaching out to these customers to discuss pay agreements. We have six properties that last made a payment in February, 14 last paid in March, 9 in April, and 4 in May. Since this report was submitted, we've had four of these properties that have brought their accounts current. The reserve accounts as of June 30th, the ending balance was $6,589,979. This is an increase of $57,980 over last month. And we're continuing to look into the reserve accounts and make sure that they are adjusted accordingly. And then the reserve fund balances are there, as are the interfund borrowing balances. Budget to actual comparison details. These will change as slightly as the final numbers for the fiscal year, are found. So right now, water charges revenues are above budget by about 1%. Sewer charges are below by about 1.3%. Drainage charges are above by 4%. Solid waste are above by 2.2%, and security are above budget by about 0.7%. Overall expenditures are below budget by about $475,000. But as I stated, this number will be reduced as we close out the fiscal year. Final number will be available by the end of the audit, which should be in early December of 2020. We had three reserve fund purchases authorized by the general manager. We had the dam inundation study, replacement West DAF panel with the PLC, and then we also had the WWRP hypo project. And then there's no finance committee update, as the finance committee for July.
Michelle, very good. Thank you. One question or comment for you. I know it's somewhat difficult reaching out to our customers, our residents on the in the rears accounts. Just a general impression how that's being received.
Well, so far right now, we're just in the process right now of making sure we have phone numbers or email addresses to reach out to the customers. And hopefully starting late this week, early next week, we will be making either phone calls or email out to them and find out if there's anything we can do to help.
Perfect. Thank you.
This is Linda.
Okay, go ahead, Linda.
I just wanted to, I suggested that we start making these connections with our residents, and I think it's a great idea, and I think that I want to thank Tom for instituting this and for making this happen.
Thank you. I wanted to let you know, we like to make sure that, you know, when we run our invoices this month, up until then, we'll call some of the higher accounts, but up until then, we'll wait and see if, how many more or if some of those accounts fall off that list. The other thing I wanted to point out, and the $6,393 in the four overdue accounts that are in lockoff status, we will collect that money because those homes are all for sale. So what we do when the properties begin the exchange process, we just add that bill to the escrow file. That's something that maybe does a great job at it. So I don't worry about that money at all. It'll get here eventually. Any other questions about the finance report?
Nope, did very well. Thank you. On to item 6C, please.
Okay, good evening, everybody. This will be the security monthly report for June. So back in June, we were preparing for 4th of July activities, not knowing exactly which way it was going to go for COVID. So in preparation for that, we did purchase an additional iPad to run at the North Gate for the FastPass program. And I was able to secure an additional program for that iPad at no cost to the district to use during the 4th. So we had that as well as the one we purchased last year to utilize. We worked with RMA planning the event as well as hiring off-duty deputies. As we all know, the 4th of July activities didn't occur, but we were well prepared. We're still doing our enforcement efforts and keeping an eye on the South Beach and the river for the usual summer activities down there. Some incidents to note, June 7th, the vandal that likes to spray paint certain items, spray painted some traffic cones in front of the Murrieta Village. And then later on, patrol noticed some real estate signs and an electrical box had been also tagged. RMA was notified regarding the RMA properties that were involved. On June 9th, patrol got flagged down by the country store. Two juveniles who went in the store and ran out with bottles of vodka and ran towards the Bel Air. So Sergeant Tompkins and Officer McCarver reviewed videotape both at the store and at the Bel Air and were able to recognize and identify who the two juveniles were and turn that information over to the sheriffs who had come out for the report. But a while later, the juveniles were spotted walking down the North Parkway, so the sheriff's department that was still in the area was contacted and they came over across the street and scooped up the kids. They confessed, and being that they were juveniles, they were turned over to their parents. On June 11th, our graveyard officer noticed some residents on the north were posting Black Lives Matter posters on stop signs. So he stopped and talked to the people, identified them all as residents, and contacted RMA compliance officer, and the two of them went around to the neighborhood and removed all the posters that had been put up. And then those residents were issued citations for posting those items on the stop signs. Just a reminder, leaving valuables, even in a golf cart, on June 18th, a resident went into the Bel Air Market and left a very expensive Bose Bluetooth speaker in his cart. And when he came out, of course, it was gone. We responded and the sheriff responded. They did find a suspect vehicle on Bel Air video cameras, and that information was turned over to the sheriff for further investigation. And then we had an accident that took out a fire hydrant on Puerto Drive on the 25th of June at 1:30 in the morning. Driver said he avoided a deer. He took out the community mailbox and the fire hydrant. And patrol did an accident investigation. Water department came out and handled the broken hydrant. And the post office was notified to replace their mailbox. And that's it for the monthly report. Security committee meeting for July was canceled. The joint security committee meeting is still on hold due to COVID. We're still using one part-time PDF on graveyard shift at the gate. And the rest of my report contains the monthly warnings and citations issued. And are there any questions on the report?
I have some public comment on security. Can I make that now?
Yes, please identify who you are. So I have no idea who I'm chatting with.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Coco Baker and I live 14835 Reynosa on the south. So I'm directly across the street from Riverview Park. It's a great location for my kids. Gives me a front row seat to all the activity that goes on over there. For many years, my biggest complaint was that I thought cars drove too fast on Reynosa, given the traffic going in and out of the park, number of people congregating there. Unfortunately, speeding cars are the least of my worries these days, and that of many of my neighbors. My participation tonight was precipitated by an incident that occurred last night at my neighbor's house, but in truth, it's a long time coming. Last night, after hearing a loud boom coming from outside, I stepped out the front door to find my neighbor standing in their driveway, visibly shaken after just having had what they said was a rock thrown at their house. I wish I could say this was an isolated incident on the street, but sadly, it is not. Recently, another neighbor on Reynosa had a rock thrown through their window. Another neighbor's house was egged. Another neighbor had a run-in with teens at the park who were blaring their profane-laced music well after dark. And yet another opened his door late at night to two drugged-out teens who asked if they could clean his non-existent pool. Personally, I have not experienced any incidents myself, but I'd be lying if I didn't think about it every night when I put my daughter to bed in the front bedroom that directly faces the park. I come to you tonight recognizing it is not the job of CSD security to raise the teens in this community. It is certainly their parents. At the same time, acknowledging that your officers' hands are tied when it comes to enforcement. But I would be remiss if I didn't go on the record and let you, as leaders in our community, know that the reckless behavior and complete disregard for authority from some young individuals is becoming a huge problem in Rancho Marietta that cannot be ignored any longer. I myself have two 12-year-olds, and believe me, I know firsthand how hard it is to keep the kids in this community engaged. My kids are bored too, but they're not disrupting the lives of residents and potentially injuring others in this community. Now, with school shut down for the indefinite future, I have serious concerns about what the coming months will bring. Boredom doesn't give my kids or any kids in this community the right to wreak havoc and disrupt the lives of others. It's not okay that we have to listen to music blaring from the park late at night, that houses are getting vandalized, that cars are screeching in and out of the parking lot at 40 miles an hour, that golf carts packed full of 5, 6, 7 kids are hurtling down the street screaming obscenities at those just minding their own business. Something needs to change before somebody gets hurt or significant property damage is done. The teenagers are not in charge and should not be allowed to run roughshod over everyone in this community. I know myself and my neighbors are so fed up with the actions of late that if need be, we will take it upon ourselves to start patrolling the park and surrounding areas, flashlights and cell phone in hand, if that's what needs to be done. That park is a magnet for trouble, and recent security logs would back me up on that. I wholly recognize that the jurisdiction of the park amenities is an RMA issue, and I am prepared to discuss my concerns about lighting, use of the parking lot, etc., at a future board meeting. I am on this call tonight in hopes of drawing attention to the reckless behavior, vandalism, and flat out disrespect for authority by many of the teens in this community. I hope that
Thank
this is
you
only
so much for your comments, ma'am. Pardon? I am sorry to cut you off, but that is 3 minutes.
All right, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coco, if or Ms. Faker, if I may, sure. Tim, maybe I'm the board president. Thank you. I hear the frustration in your voice. Just yesterday, CSD general manager and myself were meeting with the board presidents of RMA and Rancho Marietta Country Club, specifically talking about a couple of the issues you brought up. Okay. To that effect, we are going to be trying to implement some items of change and some impact actions that the three organizations, CSC, RMA, and the Country Club are going to move forward with. It's going to take a couple of weeks to put this together, but exactly what you discussed to us, a majority of those items, the rock throwing is new to me. So to that extent, I know that our security chief just heard everything you said. So we will be working on it from a security standpoint, but the three organizations met yesterday and we're moving forward with some community impact enforcement that we're going to be doing. Again, it's going to take a little bit of time for the three agencies to work together, but I would implore you to share your concerns either in writing or as you did with us to the RMA board for them to hear it as well. So Coco, I really do appreciate you taking the time and the energy to bring it to our attention.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Coco.
Any questions on the security report? Okay, hearing none. Oh, go ahead.
This is just the chief. I just wanted a quick comment. If Coco, are you still on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
We've talked before, I believe. Why don't you give me a call tomorrow? We could talk a little bit more.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. Goodbye. That was all.
No, very good. Thank you. Paul, we have utilities report, please.
Yes. Hi. Welcome public and the board. My utilities update is here before you. We're in full operation with both plants number one and two operating to meet the daily demands of approximately 2.2 million gallons per day. Our production's up at 747 gallons per connection per day as it relates to production value. As it relates to gallons per capita per day use per residence, per person, it's calculated at 290. That's about a 10.5% decrease versus our baseline year for 2020 compliance at 324. So it's still lesser than it was in 2013. However, when you look at the trending graph, it is popping back up. Of course, weather demands always change these things, but it's showing that deed water use is spiking back up to where it has been somewhat in the past. As it relates to water supply, everything's doing well there. However, we did have a little over 10 inches of evaporation last month. And an issue that we had experienced is that around the Chesboro Reservoir's water plant intake, we put a buoy system there to protect the aeration system that's around the water plant intake. Yeah. And those buoys were cut. So it's unfortunate we just installed that and then shortly thereafter, it gets cut by people within the community trying to go in and fish within that area. It's understandable that fish do like air as well. So it would be, potentially a decent fishing spot. However, it's very critical for the community to realize that system's there for a purpose, and the purpose is for treating the water. And what that system does is oxidize the iron and manganese in the water so it can be filtered out of our filtration systems. Everybody recalls the yellow water incident we had last year, and that was in result of damage to that aeration system. And so we're in the process of looking to have CCTV cameras installed in that area to catch any perpetrators that would look to do this again. And also security's increasing their patrol time up there. We've had communications with them. As it relates to
Paul, are you using sign language? You went silent there.
It says he's not muted.
I could read his report if that would expedite things.
Let me jump in here and see if I can do it until he's done. Until
he gets I'll back. Send him a text message and let him know.
I already let him know.
Thank you.
So was he at the wastewater collection treatment?
Yes, sir, he was.
So the plant's in full operation. Anybody who wants to know the numbers, they're right there in front of you. The golf course is getting their full operational supply right now. Why don't you go down a little bit? And then this is the work they're doing, the supply line that ruptured. And I believe we had to delay delivery to the golf course for about a week while we finished fixing this particular unit. We can keep going down. And then it speaks for itself. We've been doing a lot of work on the drainage system. We've had a couple calls from residents who were worried that the growth was too much in their backyard or in the drainage areas behind their house. Staff jumped right on it and got caught up. We've also talked with the RMA about some overgrowth underneath the bridge over there at Riverview Park, and we're working together with them to bring that overgrowth into a more manageable situation. There's a lot to say, but at this point, let me see.
He's back on. He's coming into the waiting room now. He's coming back on.
And then you can see the water rights renewal. We're kind of on hold with that one.
Hello.
Welcome back, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Thank you. I apologize. I continued the talk and saw my connection had dropped out, and so I had to restart the system. I apologize, but it seems to be the order of the day with technical difficulties. So, well, continuing on, if you could, I'll pick up here. Are you on district projects, Tom?
Yes.
Okay. So picking up on district projects, the effluent pump projects are complete. As we noted, no update as it relates to water rights renewal. My last correspondence back to our consultant is that they're reviewing the information I had provided and working on it, and that there's no concern with us losing our water right, as it does take a long time for the State Water Resources Control Board to review the petitions, and that the water right will stay active until they were able to review it. And that could be years down the road because they are so backlogged with it. Again, same thing with the recycled water and untreated water fee study. Really no update on that. I'm still waiting to find time to coordinate myself to meet with Mr. Sullivan and his concerns in regards to the CIA ditch costs as it relates to water transferred through the CIA. If you could scroll down slightly, Amelia. So the chlorine gas to sodium hypochlorite project, that's going well. You can see in the photograph in the board packet, we have installed a chemical trench and poured concrete around that. And staff is currently working on routing all the piping between the tanks and out through the chemical trench system. And they're doing a great job on that as well. So that's slowly coming together. In the meantime, we're continue to utilize chlorine gas. So there's no issues with this project. And at this point, we're looking to potentially wrap this up by November when bad weather hits. If you could continue to scroll down a little further, please, Amelia. You can see in the West Staff electrical panel replacement project, the panel's been installed. It's been tested out with staff and the awarded consultant that did the work, which is Telstar. They created a touchscreen interface for it with the PLC system, which is the programmable logic controller. And so far, so good. They have worked out the bugs and everything is working well so far. So that's good news. In the dam inundation mapping and emergency action plan, as it relates to that, the emergency action plans for our high hazard dams have been submitted to Sacramento County's Sheriff's Department for review. Apparently, our dam emergency action plans are the first ones within the county that they've received, and they're not quite sure what to do with them as they're new to this process. And so they're also backlogged with priorities that they're dealing with and COVID concerns as well. So not sure when we're going to get a response back on that. But at least we can say the ball's in their court right now. Moving on to development projects, there's not a lot of updates as it relates to the projects there. The Hold Harmless Agreement at the Murrieta Gardens site where the Bel Air sign was installed over the CIA ditch. That I believe is just about in its final draft of getting submitted. I think there was just a little bit of concern that there was a term associated with it. And so that was removed as that could potentially be there in perpetuity. So having a term on it didn't seem to make any sense. If you could scroll down a little bit, Amelia. So nothing really going on with the other projects there within the Murrieta Gardens. Most of it's just on-site work as it related to the developer, not in relation to any district concerns right now. At the FAA Business Park, kind of the same thing. They've noted as of when I wrote this update, they were looking about potentially it being 6 weeks away from where they would be requesting water and sewer services for the project. And that's when fees for that would become due. And Tom already spoke in regards to the residences of Murrieta Hills East. As it relates to Riverview, Tom also touched on that briefly. So that project has submitted development plans for their phase one of the project, as well as we understand they're looking to do grading of the project prior to the wet weather coming. And so to expedite that project, as Tom has said, they are looking to have the district and their consultant Coastland do some work up front to expedite the process and coordinate with the county to do so to have that happen. If you could scroll down a little further, Amelia. That's it. Any questions on any of my updates?
Actually, I do, Paul. The next agenda item we have on here is review dates, but I have a memorandum from you subject concern or consider extension of the Coastland Engineering contract. Can you speak to that briefly?
Sure. Yeah. That in that next item, it had been found that the
that's an item on the agenda.
Paul, before you get to that item, I have a question on your report. You've sure. got the developer has submitted additional deposit funds to cover the review of their phase one improvement plans. I was under the impression that they had just turned in their grading plans. Is this phase one improvement plans beyond grading?
This is for water and sewer and drainage infrastructure. I don't recall actually seeing grading plans. Dane, seeing any grading plans in relation to this?
No, I haven't, but I'll be honest, Paul, I haven't viewed any of the items submitted by the applicant yet, simply because we were working through the agreements and getting checks cut. No work has been performed, including just opening up the drawings on my end.
Okay. So we can follow up with the questions you
this
have.
This is new to me because I was under the impression that they were just trying to get their grading plans improved. You're saying they've turned in all of their infrastructure for this phase one.
Not all of the infrastructure, a phase one infrastructure for 30 homes. The whole project, if I recall, is 140. And so they're looking to develop within a phase one, just 30 homes and the infrastructure to support those homes.
And that's been turned over to Coastland also for review.
Yes. As of today, the project has submitted a deposit to cover that, and we're going to have a kickoff meeting to discuss proceeding.
Okay. When is that going to be?
To be coordinated. Hasn't been figured out.
Soon?
Very soon, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, I have one question on that as well. So is there any, like Randy was talking about before, is there any relationship of the fact that there's unresolved RMA issues with regard to parking and street width and whatever else they've got going on there? Is would any of that discussion have a direct impact on what they just submitted?
Yes.
As it relates to what we review, no. RMA, Dane, you could maybe comment on this better, but within the county's review process and the whatever, you know, review that the is necessary is for access and right-of-ways, as it relates to RMA and whatever discussions they have with them, that would be through, I believe, the county planning department. And so we wouldn't comment on any of that as it's not within our purview.
Yes, I would agree with that, Paul. And as well as the grading, our charge as representatives of your engineering division or engineering arm is to look at the utilities, and we would look at grading with respect to drainage and how drainage functions, but as to how the developer creates lots, makes lots, grades of streets and the like, or street widths, that's something that I understand is not within our review, and that would be left to the county to review and comment on.
And it's quite understandable, I believe, you know, what you're getting at is you would like input, and maybe that could be done through the RMA as well as the County Planning Commission. So that would be a route, I believe, to do that. Any further questions?
This is Linda. Not that I don't understand, but once again, I will say I don't see how they are not connected. To have a developer go forward with a part of his, grading or whatever, while there are other issues involved, it's a whole project. And yes, I get it that, you know, we are sewer, drainage, and water, et cetera. But it is a whole project, ultimately. And you can't take it apart in sections and say, well, we don't have anything to do with that, when it's a part of a whole project. I don't, you know, help me with that.
Well, let me chime in. Overall, Linda, we're just getting started on this. And I committed earlier, and I'll commit again. Let me figure out at what stage of the game we can say, you guys got to fix this or not. I mean, it's their project. Again, it's already approved map. I'm working with the RMA to get their questions addressed. And I think as an entire group, we can have influence on what they do. And I'm just not exactly sure where that happens, but I will figure it out, and it will happen shortly. The meeting Paul is talking about is going to be scheduled by next Tuesday. So it's not going to linger. You know, we're going to support what the RMA wants to do with the parking, because of course, you know, it has to do with enforcement as well, and it has to do with how the district
exactly.
The parks. So,
I appreciate that, Tom. I do. I understand. It's just that, you know, we've had things happen in the past, and it's like, oh, how did that happen? You know, not necessarily with us or this particular board, but it's difficult because we haven't had a lot of development in here other than across the street. And so I'm very suspect. I'm just very, very suspect. Right. So thank you for taking it. What's that?
Your suspicions are noted. I'm on it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, if no other discussion there, we can move on to item 7, review district meeting dates, times for August 2020.
Okay.
Hearing none, let's move on to item 8, correspondence. Not having any correspondence, or I didn't see in the packet. Item number 9, this is public comment. Members of the public can comment on any items of interest. We'll have a 3-minute maximum. If we have somebody from the community that would like to speak, we would like to listen. Amelia, do you see any hands up?
I do not see any hands up. Let me see if anybody's chatted me. No chats, no hands.
Moving on to item number 10. Paul, we discussed this a little bit. So you gave us a little bit of a purview on it. To me, it's pretty straightforward. I think this is what the organization, not having the available capacity at the technical expertise in-house, I would defer to Director Jenko if anything jumps out at him, but otherwise I make a motion to move forward with the extension of the Coastland engineering contract. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
I'll second.
Having a second, further discussion. Randy, like I said, if something jumps out at you, I'd like to hear it.
Well, we had a discussion at the improvements committee on this, and the concern was that we've had the conflicts between the North Murrieta and North Developer and Coastland about their billings, and I think what we finally decided was that that's two separate issues. This has to be done because we don't have an agreement with Coastland right now. It expired. And the other is being negotiated and will be settled. So no, this is, to me, this is just procedural. We need a contract with them. We should do it sooner than later.
Understand. Any other comments or thoughts from board members, please? Not hearing any. Amelia, would you do a roll call vote, please?
Yes, sir. Director, President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Jenko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
And Director Merchant.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Item number 11, Director comments and or suggestions. I'll open the floor first.
Yeah, are you asking for staff or directors?
No, I'm sorry. Directors. This is directors' comments.
Directors. I just have one comment. I see where the finance committee didn't meet this month, or what it was, didn't meet and didn't reschedule for some reason. Last two meetings, we've spent a lot of time talking about our situation with security costs and moving money around from general taxes to make the security budget. And I'm a little bit concerned that there wasn't a finance committee meeting with that topic on the agenda. Not that you're going to find a solution to it, but it seems to me that we ought to at least be thinking about the avenue to a solution. Let's figure out, let's get the problem down on paper and then let's put together a schedule or a method or means to solve the problem. So, I, like I say, I'm just a little surprised that that the Finance Committee did not meet this month.
I will take that one on, Randy and Tom. You can chime in. Tom and I have had quite a bit of dialogue with this, Randy, and we understand the priority. There were a couple other things that we just had to get done at staff level. We're getting those things taken care of. This has not fallen off the plate. This is still a utmost priority. And the reason on the Finance Committee not meeting, A, fell in kind of the holiday stuff, but really letting staff end the fiscal year, start the new fiscal year. But I can assure you, all your concerns and all directors' concerns on how this process has gone, we're still doing a little bit of background, figuring out how we got here, and coming up with what our template's going to be to explain to the people, the community, how we got here and how we plan on getting out of here. So we still have a little bit of background work, if you will, at staff level before we can start putting in some of the bigger detail items and with options and even coming back to the board. I would think we're still several months out from any huge recommendations or thoughts in this process because we're still trying to identify all the steps and all the stakeholders that need to be involved. But excuse me, Tom, if you have anything else to add, otherwise that's my thought on it.
I will add that we are actively looking at variable costs and that their biggest variable cost is how much staffing we have right now. And we are trying to streamline our staffing to as bare bones as it can be. So only have the necessary staff on when it's required. We've changed this quite a bit to accommodate the fact that we have two vacancies that we're not currently trying to fill. And so we're going with as much of an effective crew as possible, but still not trying to double up too much on when people are here. And I think we can see some savings that way. We can probably measure those savings. I don't think they're going to solve much of the $486,000 problem. But it shows that we're making a dent in the problem and we're watching the finances relative to security like a hawk because it's a big issue. And like Tim said, there's a lot of discussion around security and we're having a lot of security discussions with the RMA as well, trying to make sure that our roles are very specified and that, as Coco said earlier, she understands what the role of security is in the district. And it was refreshing to hear that because a lot of folks think that security is supposed to be doing a whole lot more than what we have on paper. And what you'll see in this month's pipeline is a reiteration of this is what security for CSD does for the district. This is, and the list is pretty finite. It says, here we are. We don't arrest people. We don't run people down. That's for the sheriff to do. So, Randy, we are on it. I wish I had more to say at this time, but we are actively watching the costs and trying to reduce costs with where we can.
And ultimately, Randy, you know as well as the rest of the board members, staffing is not going to get us out of this fiscal issue that decisions were made boards ago that we're now dealt with. So. That'll be the bigger hurdles that we'll be addressing. Next board member, unless you have anything else, Randy.
Yeah, hi, this is John. Just to add to that, there wasn't a meeting per se this month, but there was a whole lot of data collection that went on. Probably in the very near future, you'll see the result of that because there's quite an extensive spreadsheet that we've been building for about the last month. I had to go back and actually teach myself Excel to get involved in it. Reteach myself. The other thing I found that was interesting is I dredged out an audio recording that was made about 11 years ago by the guy who actually wrote the J&K, and he made it to us here at the CSD. I wasn't on the board at the time, but it's really kind of interesting. So we're accumulating a lot of stuff, and one of the things that's coming to light as we talk about, well, the staffing is not going to get us out of this. Well, it may have to, because 95% of what we're spending is on staffing. And it's not just on staffing, it's the 50 and 60 and 65% fringes that go along with it, the PERS and all that stuff. But Tim's right in one respect. It's not something that we're gonna resolve in the immediate future, but it is something we certainly need to commit to a document. And once we get the numbers, the facts on one side of that, then I think there's some conversations that have to be had, where if you talk to 10 people, and somebody just alluded to it, you're probably going to get 10 ideas of what security is and what it ought to be doing. So there is work going on, and I agree, we shouldn't skip too many finance meetings. I can't remember us ever skipping one prior to this. But we can certainly put it on the agenda for the next month's meeting and get started with it.
Linda, any comments under director comments?
No, I'm good. I made all the noise I need to.
All right. Thank you. Just a couple of items. I had the president's meeting earlier this week with RMA and Country Club. You heard me tell the resident we are going to have some type of impact action take place here, hopefully in a couple of weeks, with the three organizations to address a couple of the issues that we all are seeing out there. We're going to advise the community what our actions are going to be, and then we're going to implement those actions. So to that extent, that was a very worthwhile meeting from that standpoint. So the other comment I'd like to make is thank staff again. Through this era that we're living through, we're still getting stuff done. And I greatly appreciate that, especially at the managerial level, of keeping projects on time, tasks getting completed, those types of things. So thank you for that. Not hearing anything else, item 12, I'd like to make a motion for adjournment.
I'll second it.
All right, roll call vote, please.
President Mabee?
Aye.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Merchant?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Amelia, thank you. Tom, we'll be in touch.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Have a great day, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Take care.